Welcome, everyone, to our Thursday evening Bible study. We are so glad that you've taken the time to join us and be with us. Our scripture reading will be from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In this chapter, Paul is saying to those in Thessalonica, starting at verse 1, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." Paul is saying the welcoming or acceptance of us was not without effect. Although we experienced ill and wrong treatment, we had the courage, by the help of God, to tell you God's good news in spite of great opposition. Today, no matter how anyone treats us, when we share with them the good news, if it is not received, stand fast. Wipe the dust off your feet. And with the help of God, go boldly to someone else. Not everyone wants to hear the truth. A lot of people would rather believe Facebook. Just think how long it took you before you received Christ. Remember also, one plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. Verse 3, it says, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. For our purpose is not to mislead or to lead anyone to believe anything that is false. Neither is what we say corrupt or cunning. But remember what was given to us in Ephesians 4. God has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers." Verse 12 says, "It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Meaning there are those out there that are trying to do just that, but we are not one of them. Amen. Verse 4 in Thessalonians says, "But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Our plea is not based on trying to fool anyone, and it was not made from unworthy motives or any intentions of misleading you. But we have been found worthy by God and entrusted with his word. Therefore, what we say is not to please man, but to please God who tries our hearts." Yeah. "Today, as pastors, ministers, and children of God, when we share the word with anyone, we must make sure our motive and intentions are right. And the word we share, we should be first partaker, because that word will be tried in us." Now, verse 5 says, "For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness." Paul said, "When I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." We don't come to win favor or to cover something up. Our speech is with plainness and with simplicity. Verse 6 says, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. You see, when we share, we don't speak or seek anyone's honor, and we don't present or make ourselves to be someone we are not. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. Saints, we or the gospel is not here to punish who is wrong or to judge those that are wrong. We are here to share the truth so you may be delivered from the wrong. And it is done in the spirit of meekness. Verse 8 says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Mm-hmm. One thing that is important in ministering is humility. The greatest of example of this is Jesus. Notice Paul says, as a nurse cherishes her children. This is not a hired nurse, but a mother nurse. For a mother takes nothing for nursing. A mother nurse can give care that a hired nurse cannot. A mother will give her life. A hired nurse will not. Being affectionate and desirous of the saints, we have much more to offer than the harlots of the religious world. We can offer and care where they will not care, and they will not offer. What the world offers comes with a price. What we offer is priceless. Verse 9 says, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Paul and the other workers with him, they worked at their own trade, so they would not be a burden to anyone while bringing the good news. Even though it says, the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Mm-hmm. In order for the gospel to go forth, they did things that they did not intend to do, willingly, without murmur or complaint. They were witnesses before God in Christ. They were pure and upright and beyond reproach. In the gospel, in sharing the word of God with others, we also should be pure, upright, and beyond reproach. Verse 11 says, as ye know how we exhorted and comfort and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Notice the mother-father comparison. Cherished like a mother, but comforted and charged like a father. Mm-hmm. It is the office of a father to direct and instruct, to counsel and exhort his children. With this direction, there is also a mixture of meekness and gentleness accompanied with authority and gravity. Paul said in another passage, fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and do not provoke them to wrath. Amen. Verse 12 says, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Or that your lives might be pleasing to God. How many understand it is important for our lives to be pleasing? Mm-hmm. Colossians said that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Our goal is to exhort all men diligently and seriously so they may lead a godly life. Verse 13 says, for this cause, or for this reason, also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. One writer explains it like this. This too is a reason why we, on our part, are continually thanking God. Because in receiving the teaching that you had from us, you accepted it. Not as the teaching of man, but as what is really is the teaching of God, which is even now doing its work within you who believe in Christ. I say it this way. What you are taught and receive, I trust, is not only accepted, but believed and received as the teaching that comes from God. I believe this word is working within you that you may become an effective witness for Christ. Look at verse 14. For you, brethren, become followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Paul is saying to Thessalonians, the Thessalonians have gone through some of the same things they have. They were forbidden to speak to the Gentiles that they might receive salvation. But the wrath of God is about to come on them in the fullest degree. It is really not much different today. Laws are being put in place that forbid us from teaching Jesus. Jesus is taken out of the schools. It is almost forbidden to even pray. Neighbors don't want you to talk to their children about God. Religious can't even agree on who is Lord. Some don't even teach salvation. The LGBT is so entrenched in the world. Next, they will say God's supporting the LGBT. They already believe that Jesus agrees with living together. People frown if you talk about God in the workplace. They have tried to remove God and God We Trust from the money. Right now, Christians are ashamed to use the name. Soon, persecution will come for using that name. But verse 17 says, but when we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Let's put it like this for us right now. Even though we are absent from each other for a short time in this pandemic, we are not absent from one another in spirit. Amen. We can still commune with one another and wait patiently until we see each other face to face again. Wherefore, in verse 18, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Paul made every effort to get back to them, to speak again, because of all the things that was happening around them. But Satan put things in their way that he could not get to them. I think we'll all agree also, Satan does everything he can to put something in our way to stop us from getting to the word for our life. Whether it is a person, a relative, your job, the weather, circumstances, situations, your health, or even this pandemic. But don't allow anything to stop you from getting the word. The scripture tells us it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, but we must take it by force. Every man presses into the kingdom. In spite of any obstacle, we must fight. Verse 19 says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Paul acquaints the Thessalonians with the true reason why he had such an affection for them and such a desire to be present with them. They were his hope, his joy, his crown of rejoicing. The church that God has placed every pastor over should have just as much of an affection. The church should be their hope, their joy, and crown of glory. Just like when we looked at Jeremiah 3:15, where it says he has given you pastors according to his heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding. As a pastor, being attached to his heart, I have suffered many things, but with great joy, I desire to be present with you. I have hope and rejoice with you and for you. God has fed me with knowledge and understanding so I can feed his children with it. There is no greater joy for a pastor to see the sheep of God growing and exercising and practicing the things God has given. I take seriously what it says in Hebrews 13:17, and I hope you do too. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Verse 20 says, for you are our glory and joy. Our highest degree of happiness is knowing that the salvation and the coming of Christ is well in your soul. My time is up, and I thank you for yours.